And when I looked closer, there was a Sasquatch face on the other side, and it was looking right back in at us.
Staring back at me is a silhouette of a very, very giant monkey.
An intriguing discovery is being investigated in a community east of Seattle. Someone came across a lengthy trail of extremely large footprints.
They are up there.
Welcome, everyone. You've tuned into the Nicola Valley Bigfoot Podcast, a place where your encounters are told. To share your encounter and to be on the show, email me at nicolavalleybigfoot@gmail.com. Now, sit back and enjoy the show.
I work in the forestry area, logging area. I live in the base of the beautiful Lake Tahoe here in the Nevada Mountains. My job is I'm a boss of a crew. I run my own entire crews. I generally have to leave my house a little earlier to get to my location than most people. I'm usually up about 4:15 in the morning, you know, dressed, lunch packed, everything ready to go. Out the door about 4:30 in the morning. People are still asleep. He's staring around, except for maybe a couple dogs here and there, and, you know, other wildlife. I take the same route every day. It never changes. I head from my house, I go east, I take a left, and then I end up going back to the north and coming back down and then swooping around and coming up back to the west, headed back towards, you know, into the Sierra Nevada Mountains to get up to my job location, which is an hour and a half from my house. I do the same schedule every day. Nothing never changes. I can count fence posts and tell you how many is in each area. I can tell you exactly where the coyotes are going to cross. But one particular morning I'm driving, and just recently, and I come in, dead man's bend. So if you're not paying attention, you'll start speeding and the turns really sharp. I'm across there and a little ways up where the headwinds can hit. I noticed something huge standing alongside the road. Like I said, I travel the same road. I know there's where there's trees at, and there's new construction going on. I see it. And this thing was standing to the right-hand side of the highway, the road. It was probably between, you know, if I had to guesstimate, between 7'2" to 7'6", possibly taller, give or take a few inches. Just standing still. I noticed it. I was like, that's kind of odd. I wonder if that director is trying to, you know, build something here. Didn't see nothing much of it. Hit the dip a little bit. Start to come back up the hill. My high beams hit it again. Dips across the road in two strides. Goes from north to south. And it's fast. Like I said, you know, it takes, two lanes of a road and two strides. Any normal man can't do it in two strides. I don't care who you are, if you're Shaquille O'Neal or who, you can't do it in two.
Yeah.
And get to the top where I see it dip across. I pull over. I turn my truck to the left, face down to the little valley on a little embankment. I don't see anything, but I can hear things. Something running, something loud, something getting away. I don't think I leave. I go to work. I'm sitting there thinking in work, like, what was that, you know? And then it dawned on me what it was, because this encounter with him up this live, it's becoming more and more of a pattern in a certain year, more available, and he lets himself be known here, and that he's ready to let you know when something's, you know, something's up. So that's pretty much how the rest of that day went. Came home, I took a different route, hoping I'd see him on the opposite side of the valley. I was unsuccessful. I told one of my buddies who's a sheriff, I'm not going to name the county, and he told me that they have dash cam video evidence of it, but they won't release it.
Wow.
So that's pretty much as it goes, my story.
Did telling the... Did telling your police officer buddy, did that go anywhere? Like, did they investigate anything, or did a file get made or anything like that?
No, I just told him out of, you know, buddy to buddy, you know, contact. He's passed by my house consistently, and you know, I'm good friends with the sheriffs. You know, all of them, even the new ones, they start to know me, they start to like me. And it trips off of that, you know, and I was telling him, that's when he told me, he's like, yeah, this has become, you know, you ain't the first.
Did you believe in Sasquatch before this happened, or did, were you a skeptic, or were you a believer, or did it really cross your mind, or what was your views on Sasquatch before you had your encounter?
Well, you know, growing up in the Native American culture, I'm from back home in South Dakota. I'm Lakota. We've always had, you know, stories of him growing up. Sitanka is what they call him. And, you know, I used to hear stories of little boys growing up and used to hear this, hear that, you know, might see this, might see that, you know. And, you know, my first real experience with him was when I was with my mom and we were 17 years old, and I was 17 years old. And when I came out of the house, my dog was a part terrier, part coyote, and he didn't bark at nobody. He was the sweetest, but when he got mad and he hit the north 40 acres of my parents' property back there where we were running cattle, and other dogs from, you know, a couple of miles away were barking and coming this way. And I came outside with my mom. She had told me to grab the spotlight. I grabbed it, shined it, saw in the middle of the field. If you've ever been to South Dakota, you know it's flat. And this thing was standing in the middle, like, still. I think that's what the one reoccurrence I can associate with what I seen up here to back home is he was standing still, not moving. Trying to make himself like a tree so that way you drive by him and, you know, it wouldn't even cross your mind. And anyway, so when I saw him there, he took off, and the cops there, South Dakota, on the reservation, they chased him too. And they chased him quite frequently back there. Wow. So yeah, I guess if you want to ask me, do I believe in him? Yes, I strongly believe in him.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the record, Joe, I'm from Saskatchewan, so I do understand the flatland part of you know, the prairies and whatnot. So, you know, for the listeners who don't know, it is quite flat. Yeah, so you can see for quite a distance. Yeah,
you can stand on one end of your property and see, you know, four or five next properties next. It's flat.
Yeah.
So when I say it's standing there still and try not to move in the middle of a field that we know is, because we run cattle there, I mean, you know, something stands out, something's going to be different. And yeah, he was different. So
well, let's jump back to your initial. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just saying it was pretty interesting. It's interesting to know that, you know, there's something out there that lives among us, that walks among us. The shadows are, you know, he walks.
Yeah,
but you can only, if you see him at the rare occasion. Well, if you see him once, then maybe he's trying to give you a signal. I don't know.
Is that what you kind of think happened that day? I mean, you've had two encounters. Like, do you think there is, you know, do you think they're making themselves known to you?
I to be honest, it happened. I crossed and my dog was the inside dog and he wasn't supposed to be outside at that time. So, you know, he since then and took off, but this last time I think he was, you know, maybe he was warning me, because when I saw it and I slowed down, I slowed myself down, I did my investigation, I wanted to look to ensure what I thought I saw was truly what I saw. And then I get back on the highway, and then, you know, 14 miles from where I'm at, there's a car turned that just literally happened 10 minutes before. You know, I don't know, maybe it's just coincidence. Maybe, you know, he was telling me to slow down, you know, take my time. Maybe he watches me leave every morning. I don't know.
Did it make any gestures at you? Like, I mean, did it wave its arms or anything? Or did it just look at you, notice you, and then proceed to just walk away?
He didn't even look at me. He just, two strides, boom, boom, gone. When I say two strides, I mean, you walk, you hike. I listen to your first podcast, and how you were describing with you, and I think it was your friend or might even be your brother, how you guys were walking and you can hear it. That's what I can only imagine having a jump in like a long jump fashion and make the same strides that he had made.
Yeah, yeah. It's something to see. Like, even with my own encounter, I didn't see it walk away. But just the size of these things, the power that these things have, like you must understand what I'm talking about when you can tell how powerful these things are just by looking at them. Like, you don't even have to see a show of force. You can just tell, right?
Yeah, just the side profile is these massive.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a good glance at the side profile, his chest is barrel. His shoulders are broad. His back is, he's got, you know, muscles in places that most humans don't have muscles. I mean, you can tell different things just from a side profile. And what I saw, you know, recently is he's a beast. He's a monster. I mean, not in a negative way. I'm just saying, like, if you put Shaquille O'Neal to him or any NBA player that's huge, they would look like a little twig. This thing, Bigfoot.
Yeah. While we're on the topic, could you make out any details on him? Like, could you make out a facial feature or, you know, like you mentioned its muscles and stuff. Could you make any of that out? Could you tell, you know, what its body type was like or how long the hair was? Like, can you give us a description on what it looked like?
I want to say about 6 inches length with their hair. I'll say they saw orange. A lot of people say it being black. A lot of people say, you know, different colors that out of these reports, but what I saw that night, he was dark. He was dark-haired. I wouldn't say black, but I wouldn't say brown either. I would say in between, you know, maybe changing of the season. You can distinctly see his arms. His arms are, you know, down to his side from his body. You can distinctly make out the leg portion from the hip all the way down to the bottom of the foot. When you're bipedal, you stand in a certain aspect. And when he was standing there in a prone position, he can actually make out where his neck met his shoulders. You can actually make out where his head met his neck. You can see where his back started to round off. You can see where his chest was barreled. I mean, I didn't see his hands, but, you know, from what I see, I know he has hands. He has to have 5 digits like a human. I mean, there's no other way to explain it. And you're running bipedally, you're going to have 5 digits on your feet. You're grabbing things, you're going to have 5 digits on your hands. If you're becoming a bipedal type animal, you're going to have 5 fingers. Even, you know, gorillas have 5 fingers.
And you mentioned this was only like 14 miles from your property. I mean, have you ever had any activity on your property before that? Or did you suspect anything before that?
Oh, well, when we first moved here 7 years ago, the neighborhood used to tell us, hey, you know, where your house is, that building next to you has never been there, and you're going to see him a lot. He stands down there by the basketball court. He likes to check in on the community. And I was like, yeah, right, whatever. You know, 2 weeks in, walking home with my son, who's, you know, at the time was 11 years old, and we hear a loud thunderous grunt coming from the back area behind our house. There's a field between my house and houses behind us that separate us by maybe 0.2 mile, not quite 1/4 mile, but at least 0.2 mile. And it's completely black. I mean, what we heard was guttural grunts. If I had to imitate it, I would say, have you ever come across the bear while you're hiking and it's making itself known and it's going, and it was like that, but it was a lot deeper and a lot more force behind it to let you know, hey, I'm here, you know, tread lightly.
Yeah, for sure.
But again, I thought I was just a bear.
So you mentioned the community kind of mentioned that, you know, to expect, you know, occurrences with, you know, the Sasquatch that live in the area. Is it like a local legend, or is it just a regular common thing?
It's a common thing up here. I've been here for 7 years, and, you know, the stories that come out of this area are just quite ridiculous. You know, it's like, wow, you saw it there. It was looking in your window, or you guys were out hiking and you saw him? He was hiking down the hill from you guys, like on that path? Or, you know, it's just different little things that, you know, we've heard and that we've collected over, you know, our course of time of being here. And I always laugh at these TV shows that, oh, we're going to be way out in the middle of nowhere. We're going to be looking for him, you know, those star chasing fame people. If you want to find him, you don't got to go far. He's in your backyard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you mention that. Like the town I live in, you know, I can go maybe for a 20-minute drive in any direction and I can be in a pretty good hotspot where they're known to reside. So it's not very difficult. It's not very far to find them. It's just a matter of making contact with them. That's the really hard part. At least that's what I
exactly
find. Anyway. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I'm the type of guy that goes out and I go woodcutting by myself. I'll load up my chainsaw, get my truck ready. I'll throw my devil ham, my crackers, my drinks in a little bag, and I go out and I get my firewood. And I'm doing it by myself in the mountains. And I've never had the experience out in the mountains. I've never had any close encounters while I'm out there by myself, vulnerable, nobody around. You know, but it seems like ever since I moved to this community, it's becoming a little bit more and more every other year kind of type occurrences that been going on.
Yeah, you know what? I find it really, really amazing. When people have encounters on a regular basis, it becomes almost normalized. I'll give you a perfect example. When I started this podcast, I thought I was going to get nonstop people wanting to be on the show, especially from British Columbia, where I live. But it turned out the opposite was the truth because, you know, Sasquatch and British Columbia kind of go hand in hand. It's quite synonymous. Like everybody knows they're there already. So why would you want to talk about it? That's the attitude that I kind of got to when I started the podcast. So I had to expand my horizons to other places because it was kind of difficult finding guests. It kind of sounds like you're in the same situation as I am. It's like, you know, it's such a common occurrence that, you know, no, it's really not that big a deal anymore. Does that seem right to say?
Yeah. I mean, like I was telling you, you know, I like to remain anonymous because, you know, I'm not looking for that 15 minutes of glory or that 15 minutes of fame. I don't want people knocking at my door trying to ask me where I saw this, where this occurrence happened. You know, I kind of painted the picture for you. And if you were here, you'd know exactly where I'm talking about. And when I talked to my officer buddies, my officer buddies were like, dude, I'd like to tell my story, but, you know, I carry a badge.
Yeah.
You know, so We always run into those type of occurrences where, you know, people have stories, but nobody wants to share them because they're afraid to be ridiculed. Even myself, you know, but like I said, I'm not afraid to be ridiculed. I don't want people knocking at my door. I don't want people disrupting my personal life. You know, if I'm close with you, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. And then if you want to go try to find it, I'll take you to where it was, you know, but I'm not looking to be on TV. I'm not looking to be anywhere else. I'm sharing a story. I'm sharing an encounter. I shared a buddy's encounter who can't do it because he wears a badge, you know, and we're doing it all anonymously because we're not trying to grab that fame.
And you know, I have spoke to police officers, even in my area, that don't want to talk about it, but they'll just kind of, they'll say they've seen something without actually saying it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that kind of situation, yeah.
Yeah, that you're protected by the shield. Don't open yourself up for anything is what basically how it boils down for the cops around here.
It's a real shame that stigma kind of still exists. You know, you have to protect your reputation in order to protect your job. And, you know, that stigma is still around. But, you know, I think the day is coming that, you know, the Sasquatch, the forest people, as I like to call them, is going to be acknowledged as a, you know, a living species, you know, with their own society and their own, you know, their own culture. You know, people will recognize it at last, but, you know, that's just kind of what I think. Do you kind of think the same way?
Yeah, I think the exact same lines as you. I strongly believe that they're, you know, they've been here since the beginning of mankind. You know, I think that they live amongst us. They live in such a private manner that they don't want to be exposed. Yeah, I think they do have communities. I think they have husbands and wives and children. And yeah, you know, how else can you explain having sightings for my instance, out here in California, than having sightings over in your area of British Columbia or having sightings over in Colorado. You know, I think it's been a, they've been around since the beginning of time, and they're just really good at hiding and not being found.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you drove a different route home after your second encounter there. Were you hoping to see it again? Like, do you really want to see another one again?
That's a good question, man. It's, as far as hoping to see one from when I was younger, no, I never did. As far as running into this one, it was by chance. Maybe it was by fate. Who knows? If I see another one again, you know, I'm going to make a peace offering to him. I'm not going to try to capture him on camera. I'm not going to try to take pictures or video. You know, if they want to expose themselves and show themselves to me on more than one occasion, then, you know, I'm cool with it. Maybe there's a message I have to get out there for them, or maybe I've been living that way already, and that's why they're comfortable coming around me. On my obituary, I can say he's seen him more than one occasion. You know, that's exactly how it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How did your first sighting compare to your second one? I mean, your first one you said happened when you were quite young. You know, how did that one affect you as compared to this one? I mean, as a child, you know, you kind of have to try to make sense of something that, you know, you kind of weren't supposed to see, but you did anyway. How did you deal with that? Did you speak to elders? Did you talk to your parents? Or how did you work that out when you were a younger child with your first sighting?
My mom, she said she's seen him before. I've seen him that time with her. And then I never really had no effect on me. You know, I considered myself lucky. You know, we didn't know what it was, so we called the cops, you know, like you normally do when you have a first sighting. You know, I called the cops because our cattle's out there. I don't know who's messing around. And then that had no real effect on me. Yeah, that's a cool-ass story. You know, I can go to my grave with that one and then have a second encounter. That's even greater. That's even better. I look at my kids and say, hey, you know, when I tell you guys to respect the earth, this is the reason why. When I tell you guys to respect nature, this is the reason why. But no, I wouldn't say it had any effect on me. I'm not fearful. You know, I go outside by myself still. I go outside and mess around in the dark. You know, if they wanted to hurt you, they'd hurt you. And if they don't, they don't. So I never hear of horror stories of, oh, he attacked. No, they don't attack. They're curious creatures. They run off once they realize that their curiousness might get them caught.
I absolutely agree. You know, when I started the podcast, I thought I was going to get nothing but horror stories and scary encounters. And, you know, this bloodthirsty animal is going to be trying to rip in down your door type of thing. And it's actually been quite the opposite. I've learned a lot since I started the podcast about Sasquatch. You know, this violent tendency that people kind of make them out to have, it just isn't true. I just don't believe it anymore. I think they're more curious, and people misinterpret that, you know, for, you know, running into a monster and becoming scared and that fear turning into something else. And, you know, the poor Sasquatch is just standing there, you know, trying to figure out what you're doing. And, you know, the person is terrified beyond, you know, they can't move type of thing. And so I don't believe that these violent occurrences happen as much as people believe they do. I don't buy it. I think occasionally they do, you know, but there's a reason for it. And whatever that reason is, who knows, but yeah, I just don't believe in the whole, you know, they're bloodthirsty monsters. That's not true at all. They're way too sophisticated for that. I mean, that's my own belief anyway. And it's kind of what I've been learning since I've started this podcast. But yeah, it kind of sounds like you're in the same boat as me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, when we're out shopping in public and I have all my children with me, you know, Papa Bear steps in. And I'm gonna, you know, protect mine. I can say the same for them. I mean, a lot of the stories that I heard you tell, even your own story, you guys got to a certain point, there was a boulder in the middle of the road that wasn't there before after you guys got the keys to the side-by-side, you know, and you said you've been there before. Maybe that was his warning of being, hey, you're coming a little too close, man. You know, kind of back up a little bit. My family's here. And I think that's pretty much the gist of all they do is, you know, they want to make sure that they're protecting their people and their own. And, you know, the people that have that horror story of, oh, he tried attacking, you know, you, you're making up a story looking for your 15 minutes of glory. You know, you're not telling the whole truth. You know, you probably encountered something, it probably ran off, and that's the end of the story. Plain and simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you do listen to my show.
Yeah. You know, I discovered your show when I contacted you, and I was like, oh, I'm going to share my story with him because he seems like he's really into, you know, keeping anonymity or anonymous, you know, type people available, you know. And like I said, you know, I'm not searching for my 15 minutes of fame. You know my true name, and I respect that you allowed me to come on in an anonymous fashion. I really do, you know, and I appreciate that very much.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It just, well, the show is all about guests, so I'm nothing without my guests. So, you know, whatever I can do to make sure that you're comfortable, I'll do. But yeah, like to go back to that Boulder thing, yeah, you know, you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. That was the first, you know, the lock on the door that I should have noticed in the first place. Or I was not supposed to be there at night. But, you know, I learned my lesson. We and my buddy went back a week later, and we made an offering. We brought up some fruit and some other stuff, and, you know, maybe laid some tobacco down and just kind of said, we're sorry. We didn't know. And it took us, it took us speaking to an elder to figure out that we weren't supposed to be there. But, you know, now we do know, and we won't go there where we're not supposed to. You know, there are certain lines that we can't cross. So, you know, maybe that has something to do with other people's, you know, quote unquote violent encounters. Maybe they're passing in their territory where they're not supposed to be. I mean, it very well could have turned violent in my own encounter, but it didn't. So maybe, I don't know. It's all speculation, but I don't believe that they intend to do harm. You know, it's not they wake up and think, oh, you know what? I'm going to go kill someone today. That's absolutely not true. I just don't believe that. And it's, you know, anybody that kind of pushes that narrative, I really don't think that they have, you know, the Sasquatch people in the right light. I mean, does that sound fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's a strange encounter, you know. If they were wanting to be found and invited into their culture, they would invite us. I say just let them rest, let them be who they are. If you're looking for real interesting stories, you know, like really digging into this, look up the Hoopa Reservation in California. Those people have amazing stories of encounters with Sasquatch, or, you know, Sasquatch living amongst their people back in the day. I don't know, man. I really don't. And I guess only time will tell if they discover one or, you know, what. But as of right now, if you have an encounter, cherish it. Take it to you with your grave.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So on that note, though, do you think that you're kind of chosen, you know, quote unquote, chosen to see them? Do you know what I mean? I mean, not everyone gets the, you know, I know people who research Sasquatch who are out in the wood constantly and never, ever run into one or never have a sighting. You know, it almost seems like they know who to let them see them. You know what I mean? And do you think that you're in that boat?
I don't know, man. When I said I feel like I'm chosen, it's because, you know, like I told you, you know, I live a very humble life. I'm not looking to be on TV. That's the last thing I want to do, is be sitting in front of a camera talking to somebody. And I think it's just, you know, my utmost respect when I go out, when I'm out, actually out with either my kids or by myself, you know. I hate to sound like cliche or anything, but I'm connected to the land. You know, my job entails me to help protect the land. When I'm on my personal time hiking, woodcutting, fishing, hunting, I'm protecting the land. You know, I'm connected in so many different ways that it's not funny. And I think they might have, you know, took recognition and said, hey, you know, this guy is not going to do anything to us. You know, we can see what he does if we show ourselves to him again. You know, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, like I said, if I have another encounter, then I'll truly believe that I am chosen. And if that happens, I'll reach out to you and I'll let you know again.
That'd be awesome. Well, Joe, I want to say thank you for coming on the show today and sharing with us your encounters with the Sasquatch. I certainly do appreciate it. And for the listeners, if you guys just want to hang around, we're going to be right back. Stay there. Hey, and we're back, everyone. We are back to pull the pin on this one, but before we do that, we have to give a huge thank you to Joe for coming on the show today and sharing with us his encounters. Joe, thank you so much. It really sounds like all it took was a couple of strides across a logging road for your whole outlook to kind of to be changed for the better. But I did appreciate it, and Joe, thank you so much. We are going to get out of here, guys. It's going to be a short one this week. But if you've had an encounter you'd like to be on the show, email me at NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. That's N-I-C-O-L-A, NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And definitely tune in next week. I've got another great guest for you guys, and I know you're going to love this one because it's another another Merritt guy. My hometown, so I really enjoyed it. So tune in next week. But until then, I will talk to you all later. Bye. We'll be right back.